Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're here with Mr. Charles Maddox. He's an award-winning actor, director, producer, and television host and health advocate. Not to mention, he is the nephew of the late, great Bob Marley. So it's no surprise that he comes from a very high-profile family lineage. And he's taking the healthcare world by storm. His work has been showcased on appearances with CNN, The Today Show, Dr. Oz, Fox News, Good Morning America, The Talk, The Martha Stewart Show, and many other media outlets. And with that, I'd like to welcome Mr. Maddox. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your story is quite impeccable and it, almost a testament to the quality of work you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got your start as a prolific advocate for health and your own personal journey with diabetes?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's interesting. You know, and as you mentioned, and I don't talk about my uncle a lot, true, because I look at how he made it and I say, you know what, he didn't have anybody to say that was his uncle or that was his brother or that was anything. He came up from nothing. But I was inspired by my uncle. I knew I wanted to, as I got deeper into his work and who he was as a person, it kind of made me say that, you know what, hey, I've got this. Got some legendary blood inside of me, man. I got to do something with that, you know? And so I knew I wanted to do something special. And I also came up in a religious background, spiritual Christian background. So then you have the example of some of the people in the Bible and let's say Jesus or whatever it may be. And you look at how they gave their life per se for what they believed in. So, you know, between those two, my uncle and the biblical, you know, Jesus, I kind of felt like, you know what, I needed to do something. I wanted to be something. So I didn't know what that was. And that kind of got me off into, you know, from acting to music to you name it. But then when I was diagnosed, probably about 15 years ago now, that's when I kind of looked at the landscape of diabetes. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And the thing is, was when I was diagnosed, I thought I was healthy. I thought I was living healthy. I was in the gym, doing all the wrong things, just doing a whole bunch of exercise, weightlifting and no cardio. Stress is a contributing factor of type 2 diabetes. So I was stressed working. I think I just had a child. I was paying all the bills and working nonstop and stuff like that. So, and then not eating right and thinking that I was eating right. I used to drink ginger ale because I thought it was healthier because it had ginger in it. I don't know what I was thinking. So that's when it kind of, I was diagnosed. And I remember that day where literally, it was like yesterday, the doctor came in and said, did you have a family history of diabetes? And I'm like, diabetes? And to be honest, I knew nothing really about it. And I thought I was going to die. I'm like, what? And he said, yeah. He said, well, I can give you some medication. And I thought, medication? You know, how did I end up here? And that's what kind of opened the door to me looking in this window. But then as I looked in the window, I was so naive to everything that has to do with not just diabetes, but overall healthcare and understanding that this is really a business, the business of keeping people and making profit off keeping people sick and making profit off of sick people. And then also the fact that many of us, especially when it comes to, you know, lifestyle conditions or just obesity and things like that, we do a good job at times ourselves of keeping ourselves in these positions, right? Because I remember meeting a guy at a cigar bar in Orlando, and he was probably, you know, close to 360, and he had told me he had diabetes, and he was in there smoking cigars, drinking, you know, overweight, eating, and I thought, man, you know, something is wrong with this picture. I mean, if you know you have diabetes, number one, you shouldn't be in here, you know, doing any of this. You know, life is short, but you know, we can make it more shorter and more complicated. But so that's what kind of got me into looking into it. But then realizing, like I said, that the business of diabetes and the business of healthcare, and I thought I've got to stand up and fight for something. And this system is not right. And we still fight each day. And so, yeah, that's how I kind of got into it.
Nice. Talk a little bit about how your journey informs the content you create, as well as the shows that you're producing and have produced in the past.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, and I tell you from the heart, you know, I would love to just be a producer who makes good content on health. And you would think that would be an amazing, you know, situation. You would think that if I have a cancer series that just brings people together to talk about health, and talk about cancer and what they're going through, and do it even in an entertaining but informational way, that would be just enough for some billion-dollar cancer pharma company or cancer company to say, man, we want to be a part of that. You know, where do we cut that check? But it's not. You have to do song and dances. You have to, if you can get to the right person, because, you know, there aren't people who are sitting in these positions. And this is across the board. Trust me, I talk about this with some of the people I work with all the time who are, you know, well respected in healthcare and pharma. And there aren't people sitting in these positions that say, I want to do good today. I want to help. You know, our company is making billions of dollars. I want to help. And we have a big budget over here. I want to help get the word out to and educate people. I was just talking to somebody who's in menopause. And she said, Charles, you don't know how today, a couple of minutes ago, she said, you don't know how much, you know, people thank me for talking to them about menopause. And I thought, wow, you know, this is a menopause loses in the workplace about $1.5 billion a year. If people are making, you know, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars off of menopause. But yet there's not enough information and people are thanking someone for sharing information. So you would think if we make a show on menopause that, you know, these companies would be breaking down the door to be a part of it. But, you know, once again, it's not the system isn't set up like that. And if people's paychecks are based on, you know, getting the information out to where it needs to be, then you're going to fall short on that, because they're not in the business of generosity or really helping. They're in the business of profit. And, you know, they see a bigger profit advertising menopause during a football game, which is bizarre, which Astellas is spending, you know, millions of dollars, I'm sure, advertising during a football game on hot flashes. So it's been a metamorphosis and a journey in getting here, and it's still one. But, you know, we get by and we're doing well. But we'd love to be able to create these shows and many shows, whether it's sickle cell. Sickle cell is another condition that gets little to no attention. But yet there's money for sickle cell. Mental health. You know, we have a mental health show ready to go. And the world is suffering with it. But finding a couple of partners to help get that done is not easy. So while we're blessed, we would like to be able to continue to empower people. And I just want to be a producer that produces these great shows. I don't want to think about the business or the politics of it per se, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And thank you for sharing that. As you had mentioned earlier, you have an upcoming series on menopause. In the past, you've done a series on cancer, on certain diets. How do you select which conditions to highlight? And when you cover them, what aspects of the conditions do you try to emphasize?
Yeah, great question. You know, obviously, because I started and was diagnosed with diabetes and I was a big diabetes advocate, you know, I'm a published author with the American Diabetes Association. I was a Blue Circle champion with the International Diabetes Federation, spoke around the world, did a lot of work with diabetes. So that was the first one. RSD was probably, which my mother, complex regional pain syndrome, was the other one. I did a docuseries on it, won a ton of awards around the world. It's still being seen after like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, still being seen today. So that was another one. So a lot of these have been kind of close to me. My cancer series was inspired because my dad died in 2014 from cancer. So I wanted to do something on that. And then as my diet changed and I started to educate myself, it got into, well, what was healthy? So we did a series on keto, right? Because ketogenic is actually a great, you know, a situation to be in. If you understand and eating keto and ketosis, the benefits that come from that. So it was a natural progression into low carb, sugar free, starch, staying away from starch, carbs, sugars, things like that, and understanding what diets are out here, what trends are out here that are actually helping people that you wouldn't find normally, you know, at a doctor's office or just in general. Then, you know, another natural progression was going into carnivore, because a lot of people that are in keto also in carnivore, and I thought it was crazy at first. And then I just really started to look at some of the people who were talking about it, the experts and the doctors, and really just starting to figure it out, right? Because, you know, we've been told, you know, this type of eating is horrible for us. Stay away from bacon, stay away from eggs and things like that. And it started to make a whole lot more sense. So we did a series on that, and it was very powerful. And all the series have tremendous change. Where the people on the series have, you know, our cancer series, all five people who are suffering from cancer worked with a great company out of Mexico called Hope for Cancer, who are now NED, no evidence of detection, so cancer free. Kate had 6 months to live, and, you know, is going on, you know, years of no cancer right now. And it goes on. Jose had prostate cancer, and it was really bad. I was worried about if he was going to make it or not. And he's doing fantastic. So all of our series, you know, feature change and feature people who have made life traumatic changes. I mean, they've all lost, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds and come off of medication, come off of insulin, you know, reduce their medications and just have a new lease on life. So it warms my heart at the end of the day, the work that we're doing.
No, it's certainly an amazing. What I would like to do at this time is highlight some of the clips and discuss them, because I think it's very important for the audience to understand just how impactful these series are and the quality of conversation that takes place. So let me begin by highlighting, as you had alluded to recently, the cancer series, and we can talk more about that once we saw the clip.
I have an issue with prayer.
Right.
I just hope, I hope I won't be rejected from the group here.
No.
So emotions are raw, are fast.
This is what God wanted for the camera to capture us.
No one wants to die of cancer. No one wants to die, period.
Cancer is not a death sentence.
All right, so this consultation is to explain you with detail what we do here, how we do it, right? Curico for cancer, our main thing is not about the cancer. It's about the patient or about the person that is in that journey.
You know, the healing starts from the moment you
go. I thought that was really impactful for a few reasons. One, you had mentioned the organization that you partnered with. And also in that clip, we saw the power of conversation, of emotions. What I noticed is that you didn't go into the pathophysiology or the mechanics of cancer. You went into the raw emotional experiences of it. Talk about that decision.
You know, once again, this is really a journey. And at times we don't see that journey. You know, people, I know a guy who's dealing with a rap pioneer, actually, who's dealing with cancer. And he posts a lot on Facebook. And he lets us in on that journey. And while he's going through chemotherapy, while he's dropping the kids off at school, the fact that he, you know, is not financially stable right now and things are costing a lot and he's dealing with it. So, you know, these are the things that we have to deal with. This is life, you know, and life is not easy. And nobody wants to see the end result. You know, you want to see somebody who had to go through something, and as they're going through something. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm not an expert on anything. So my job at times is to connect those doctors, and we do a great job. We feature some of the biggest names and biggest experts in the world. And literally, I don't think there's a person that we don't reach out to unless they come from a selfish place, you know, where You know, it's they're not about giving, right? A lot of these doctors are more focused right now on legacy leaving, right, than actual making money. So they don't come to us and say, well, how much am I going to make for this series? Because, I mean, what are we going to pay them, right? I mean, they make money every day doing what they do. They're experts, they're doctors, they're, you know, they're successes in their business. But one thing they do want to leave is a legacy. They want their message to carry on. Right. They want what their passion to carry on. There's a lot of doctor advocates. There's a lot of advocates and experts out there who just want a message, their message to reach as much people as they can because they're passionate about what they love, whether it's cancer, diabetes, HIV, whatever it might be. So my job is to take a deep dive into the psyche of the person and understand what they're dealing with, understand what the family is dealing with. Right. Understand, you know, what treatment may be like and how they're experiencing and going through treatment and wrapping that around a powerful message and a powerful story. Fortunately, you know, any medical things that they were going through, you know, Hope for Cancer on that particular series was able to walk them through. But in a loving way, right? We're never pushing anything. We're never selling anything. It's always about the people and about the message first.
That's very powerful. As you're filming these sessions and as you're interacting on a human level with many of these patients and guests on your show, how do you notice the poignant moments? How can you tell when there's a moment worth capturing?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, as a director, but also as a people person, right? Because you got to, you know, a lot of these things you got to bring out of them. You know, they have to trust you. They have to know that you mean good. And I think because they've seen my work, they've seen my passion, they've seen that I've injected myself into this journey, right? Because I myself am fighting at times for my basic health, right? There are times, you know, I mean, there's, you know, clips where I've been in the hospital and going through, you know, checking, make sure that I'm not dying of a heart attack or, you know, getting heart tests and, you know, going to get, you know, blood work and urology and things like that. So it's, I'm going through it as well. So I'm a patient advocate, if that's what you want to call it. So they've built some trust with me, and they know also that we bring the best experts who actually care, people who actually care about them and aren't just looking to make a dollar, aren't talking at them, but talking with them. So I think that's allowed us to have an upper hand in what we create. But I'm able to look at those moments because I get to know the people and I get to know each one of them as good as I can. And I understand what they're dealing with, and I understand what's touching them, what's changing them, what hopes that they have in this short period of time. And then they open up because they want to open up, right? They want to share.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So.
That is powerful. As you go through your series, one of the things that caught my attention were the group conversations that you'd have. You had many of the patients and guests coming together, sitting in a round table type format and just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Why structure group conversations like that?
Because there are things that, you know, let's just say talk about mental health, right? There might be 10 people talking about mental health at somebody's home. You know, or in the kitchen, or talking about, you know, what they're dealing with as far as their diabetes or whatever it might be, a menopause, right? And these are conversations that you wouldn't normally see film. So we wanted to make sure that we brought the essence of real life into these pieces. You know, even like if you compared what we do to, like, say, my 600-pound life, and initially that's I looked at that model, and I do like that model. But, you know, once again, because we're independent and we fund and find funding ourselves, we don't have to create any drama, right? Whereas we don't exploit our guests. So there might even be, and just getting off topic a little bit, there might even be a blow up on set. And there have been where somebody said something or did something or whatever like that. And I will edit out 99% of that just because I don't want to compromise that moment or the people. Now, you know, having emotions is very powerful. So I might leave 1% of that, 2% of that. But the rest that looked sticky, I take it out. And I think that's the good thing about what we do too as well, is that we don't compromise the series. We're not making a series for network. We're making a series for the people who are dealing with the condition so that they can get support. They can see other people just like them. And also for the healthcare providers in the industry that have a passion and want to see others who have an amazing passion just like them. So, but that still reaches millions of people, right? So it can be beneficial for all parties.
Well said. Now you have an upcoming series on menopause. Yeah. And it's, as you had mentioned earlier, a significant condition, but also an economically impactful condition. What are you going to highlight in the upcoming series that for those who are suffering from the disease that they can take away from?
Yeah. Well, our first series that we actually start shooting in a week and a half, right, in Costa Rica, is our longevity series. So, yeah, that we have people coming from as far as Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Singapore, Australia, all around the world to come to Costa Rica for this beautiful series. And, you know, longevity is the new forefront of healthcare in many ways. I think we are at a good place because there isn't really a marketing mechanism set in place to market longevity. So I think that we are cutting edge, and that is just a glimpse into what's out there, right? So there's no way we can cover all the information. And that's a tackling and daunting process too, because, you know, at times when you make a series, let's say I make a series on carnivore, I think one of my regrets is that I didn't focus enough or have longer segments that were not just for the uneducated, but also the educated, because the educated want to be educated even more, right? They want to hear all that deep information. So it's a double-edged sword at how you do it. So with longevity, it's more a look into, well, what's out there? What's on the forefront? Let's talk about it a little bit. That particular science, that particular method, that particular product, that particular drug, and see what's out there and look forward to another season or two or three where we can take a deeper dive into those conversations. So, but with menopause, it's more of, as far as what the women are going through, you know, what they're facing from, you know, understanding it from different ages, right? Because you can get menopause at early ages, not just, you know, 55, 65. There's some people who are getting it from, you know, 30s or 40s. So, so looking at it from that standpoint, looking at it from a loved one standpoint, you know, what their loved ones have to deal with, how they cope with it from a mental health standpoint, right? Because one of the things why this inspired me, because a good friend of mine, she was diagnosed or has had menopause, and she was young. I think she was maybe like, you know, 41 or something like that. And she was dealing with some mental health problems that came from imbalances from the menopause. And I told her, I said, you know what, one day I'm going to do something on this to make you happy, you know? So now I was able to fulfill that promise to her. So we're going to get deep. I mean, from a workplace standpoint to, you know, treatment options, natural treatment options, you know, how to really get through it, how to walk through this door and how to combat it the most, but also allow, once again, people who are dealing with it to share their stories. So someone watching it could say, you know what? Wow, that is me. I am dealing with that. Who knew that that was it? I didn't know that, or that, you know, how I was treating my husband or my boyfriend or how, you know, was based on this and these are the options. Let me try this first or go that natural route first or whatever it may be. So, it's going to be a beautiful ride.
Right, that's amazing. Yeah. For the listening audience who may want to watch some of the full clips or take part in the series, how can they get a hold of you, your production company, and also view some of your content?
Yeah, you know, and I probably haven't done the best job at that, but, you know, we have a website, Bella and Elle Media, BellaAndElleMedia.com. And all you got to do too is Google me, Charles Maddox, and a ton of stuff will come up, and I'm not hard to find. And our work is, you know, we're really at the cusp. I say we've done some amazing work, and it hasn't gotten it. It of course they air on, you know, everything from PBS to Discovery to Pluto to Tubi to Cox to you name it. And but we haven't had that big crossover thing yet. But I believe that this our next projects are going to have that. While we reach people and reach a lot of people, it hasn't been that mainstream thing. And that's where we want to go, because, you know, I kind of feel like we are Amazon in the garage, right? And we're about to have that mainstream hit that really takes us off and puts us where we need to be so that we can create more projects like this, because there are a bunch of conditions that need a story, and there's a space for it. There's a space for it.
No, well said, Mr. Maddox. Charles, thank you so much for your time, and look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I think it went well.